Bibles and let's go over to 1 Kings chapter 10. 1 Kings chapter 10, we're going to begin reading with verse 1. We're going to go down to verse 10 this evening. 1 Kings chapter 10 and verse 1 down to verse 10, or for sake of time, we might go to just verse 7. But we're going to have Mrs. Griffin come at this time, and she's going to bring us our special, and we will enjoy that. You're over there in 1 Kings chapter 10, and we'll begin reading verse 1. Covers all of our sins, amen, covers them all and didn't leave any out, so we're on our way to heaven. We're over in 1 Kings chapter 10, and we're going to read verse 1 down to verse 7, 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 1. The Bible says, "And when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions, and she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices, and very much gold and precious stone. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king, which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom, and the house that he had built, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, and his cupbearers, and his ascent by which he went up unto the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, "It was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thine acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes have seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard." Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for these scriptures that we're able to read this evening. God, we just want one small nugget from your word. God, I know there's some folks here this evening that have heavy hearts. Some, Lord, are rejoicing in victories that have taken place over the last couple of days. Others, Lord, are striving to go forward in their Christian life. God, you know their needs, and I pray through this message and through this small principle that we will discuss this evening, I pray that it would help them, help us to leave this building a little bit changed from what we came this evening. Well, thanks for all that you do for us in Jesus' name, and amen. In 1 Kings chapter 1, we find that Solomon became king over Israel. He took the throne of his dad, David, and God met with him in the middle of the night. And God said, "Solomon, what would you ask of me? If you could have anything, I will give it to you. What would you ask of me?" And he said, "Lord, I would ask that you give me wisdom to know how to govern these people as they go in, they come in, and as they go out. Give me wisdom." The Bible says that God came to him and told him that his request was granted. Not only was his request granted for wisdom on how to govern the people, but also the request, or also above and beyond an extra benefit to his request, was the riches and the prosperity that would go along with it, and the fame. The children of Israel, I'm sure, over the next several days and weeks and months, they saw that God had blessed him with an abundance of wisdom. And boy, I'm sure that word began to spread. The Bible says word spread about his wisdom that he had as he governed the people. I'm sure as merchants came and they sold their items on the streets of Jerusalem, they caught wind and heard reports about Solomon's wisdom there in the kingdom. And I'm sure they also saw all the beauty of the tabernacle and all the prosperity that Solomon had in his kingdom. And I'm sure those merchants, they went back to their home countries and to their home cities, and they began to speak of the fame of Solomon and how he had such wisdom as he was dealing with his people, and how he had such great riches, and the people there were happy, and they had such peace in Jerusalem. Well, one of the merchants went back and began to speak to his queen in Sheba. Now, Sheba is about 1,200 miles away from Jerusalem. 1,200 miles, a little bit over, depending upon what part of the country of Sheba you are in. Some is 1,400 miles away. 1,400 miles away, the fame began to travel to these different countries. And a lady, the queen of Sheba, began to listen to these reports coming in. She said, "You're telling me that there's a man in Jerusalem that has wisdom above all others on this earth? You're telling me that there is more welfare in Jerusalem than there is in my own nation?" And the merchant man or merchant lady or whoever it was said, "Yes, I'm telling you a truth, that there is much more wisdom there in Jerusalem. And there's much more prosperity there in Jerusalem than in Sheba." Sheba was a very wealthy country. Sheba got most of its wealth on the stones that were there in its country and the agriculture and things like that. And so the queen of Sheba decided, "I'm going to take a trip. I'm going to find out for myself. I'm going to experience some of this wisdom for myself. I'm going to see how rich this king really is." And so she packed her bags. She got a bunch of servants with her, and they went on by way of camel or whatever it was, 1,200 miles to Jerusalem. And I can just imagine, as she's going up the hill to Jerusalem, that beautiful city of God, as she saw the house of God, the gold and the sun maybe glimmering off of that gold of the house of God, her heart began to beat inside of her and said, truly, the report was truth.
truly the report was truth. Then as she was standing there in front of the presence of the king, she heard the wisdom with her own ears, and her response was, it was a true report. It was a true report. You see, she took a trip. She heard with her own ears, she saw with her own eyes that the report was true. Now let me tell you, you and I get reports almost daily. On another country that is a beautiful country, another place that is a very peaceful place, we get reports that this place is a very rich place. This is a place where the streets are made of gold. We get reports almost every day based on where you read in the Bible that this place is ruled by a king that has greater wisdom than all of the kings that have sat on a throne here on earth. I'm talking about heaven, and I'm talking about the King of Kings that rules for all eternity. That's King Jesus. You see, we have a report coming to us on a daily basis. And might I say, the report is true. The report is true, and we are going to take a trip someday. That trip is called the rapture. I hope I beat you there, because I want to see it for my own eyes. Boy, it's going to be a race up to those streets of gold. I can't wait to see my King of Kings and hear just a little bit of His wisdom pouring out from that throne of God. I can't wait to see that the reports are true. I want to tell you this evening, the report is true. The report is true. You read the Bible from cover to cover. There's a lot of different reports that we are reading in our Bible. And all of them are true. They are true. You see, she had to take a trip to prove to herself that the wisdom was actually there. She had to take a trip to actually prove to herself that the gold and the riches were there in Jerusalem. You see, the devil, the Bible says in verse 1, she came to prove him with hard questions. She came to prove him with hard questions. And might I say, the devil comes to us to prove us, to try to prove that the reports we get from the Word of God are not really true. It's not really true. The Bible says that God hears our prayers. The devil comes and meets with you in your prayer closet and whispers in your ear, the report is not really true. We as parents raise our kids knowing and placing our faith in those promises, train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. And the devil comes and he whispers in our ear, the report is not true. Time and time and time again, the devil tries to prove to us that the report is false. Sometimes the devil comes to you teenagers and he says that authority is really trying to keep you from fun rather than looking out for your well-behaved or your welfare. The authority is trying to keep you from doing what is fun. You see, the devil tries to prove that the reports from the Word of God are not true. But I might say they are true, no matter what kind of hard questions he places in front of you teenagers, you young kids. Mark it down. The Word of God is always going to be true. It's always going to give you a true report. It took Solomon's presence to convince her. It took Solomon's presence to convince her. Please, just follow along here, and we'll get to the key of the message here in just a little bit. But it took Solomon's presence to convince her that the report was going to be true. Why did she have to wait before she believed the report? Why should we wait to stand before God and realize, oh, I guess there really is a heaven and there really is a hell. Oh, I guess I really should have been a soul winner while I was down there on earth. Oh, I guess I really should have given you my time and served you. Oh, I guess I really should have believed that the Word of God was truth. Why wait until we stand in the presence of the great King of the universe? Why don't we just take the Bible for what it is and believe in the Word of God? I believe that we are receiving a true reports. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8, whom having not seen, ye love. in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. The Bible says, blessed are ye that have not seen Jesus Christ, but believe in him wholeheartedly. Because I believe in the report of the Word of God. You've got to believe in the report that is found in the Bible that you are holding. You see, throughout history, we have received many good reports. We think of just in the United States, we've heard many good reports that the World War I has come to an end. What a report that was to the soldier in the foxhole. That World War II has come to an end. What a relief that would have been to a Navy man in the Pacific. Huh? What a relief. What a good report that it would have been. But I want to tell you, there's been some greater reports coming out of the Word of God than those that we have heard in the United States about wars and things like that. One report was given to us by a bunch of angels that showed up one night and said, unto you is born a Savior in the city of Bethlehem. What a wonderful report. Boy, that report makes me want to shout and praise God, huh? We have a Savior tonight. Then there's another report that came to heaven, and that was Jesus Christ's voice reporting that it is finished. What a report that would have been, huh? It is finished. Can you imagine all the angels standing around looking at Jesus Christ suffering and almost dying on the cross there as he's taking his last few breaths as they're watching him? All of a sudden he looks up and he cries out, it's finished. As they whisper to one another, hey, it's finished, it's finished, hey, it's finished. Salvation has been given to mankind, it's finished. Can you imagine the excitement in heaven? Huh? Incredible reports we have heard. And then, oh, we come to another time. Jesus Christ's body was placed in a tomb. There's another angel that got to come down from heaven, sit on that stone there outside the tomb. As Mary Magdalene and the disciples began to rush into the tomb, they didn't find the body of Jesus. That angel, can you imagine the excitement of that report? He is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. His body isn't there. Hey, he's risen. What a report, huh? Hey, we've got a Savior. He crucified. He was crucified. It is finished. And then he rose from the dead. What a mighty God we have, huh? What a mighty God. And let me tell you, it's a true report this evening. It's a true report. The Queen of Sheba said, I traveled 1,200 miles. Only to find out that I could have just believed it while I was in the country of Sheba. I could have believed it the whole time. Yet I traveled all this distance. And now I know. In verse 7, howbeit I believed not the words. I believed not the words. I want to tell you, there's a couple of reports I believe that are very important for every Christian that sits in this room this evening. I believe all of us must take these reports. We must hold on to them. We must apply them to our life. Don't let them go, because the devil's going to come by someday and he's going to whisper to you and tell you it's a false report. It's not true. But I'm telling you, from the Word of God, it's a true report, and it's never been found as falsehood in the Word of God. There's three reports I want to talk about this evening. First of all, the report that victory is available for all. Victory is available for all. You can live a victorious Christian life if you want to. You can live a victorious Christian life if you want to. It's your choice, because it is available to every Christian, the victorious Christian life. You see, Caleb went into Canaan land. He was sent by Moses into Canaan, and he was there spying out the land. Him and Joshua came back with a good report. There were 10 bad spies. You know the song, 12 men went to spy out Canaan, 10 were bad and 2 were good. You have Caleb and Joshua. They come back and they give a good report. The Bible says, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. The Bible says Caleb came back with a report that the victory is available. The victory is available. And the devil got in the ears of the children of Israel and said, hey, it's a false report. You can't conquer those enemies over there. You can't have victory in Canaan. And listen to me tonight, sometimes you may be battling with a trial or battling with a temptation. And the devil comes to you and says, you just can't beat it. You just can't beat it. I want to tell you this evening, you can beat it. You can get victory over that temptation. You can get victory in your Christian life. Huh? Victory is available for all. Victory is available for Caleb Hansen if I want it. Victory is available for you if you want it. Victory is available. The Bible says, we are more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors all throughout the Old Testament, New Testament. The Bible proclaims that report. We are victors. We are more than conquerors. The victory is yours if you really want it. Are you struggling in one area of your life? You can have victory in that life. Teenager, are you struggling in an area? Are you struggling with reading your Bible every day? Are you struggling with a good attitude towards your parents? Are you struggling with rebellion? You can have victory over that temptation and over that sin if you really want to. The choice is yours. Victory is available for everyone. There's a British preacher, Guy King. He was standing there beside the train station waiting for his train to come by, and he was going to travel to the next meeting. While he was standing there, another train pulled up, a bunch of football players got off the train. As he was watching these football players getting off the train, he saw this little boy run up to the football players and begin asking them, what was the final score? What was the score? What was the score? And the football players looked down at the little boy and they told him the score. The score was that his football team had won the game. Boy, he turned around, he looked at all of his friends that he had been playing with, and he leaped up in the air and said, hey, we won, we won, we won. And the preacher looked at that little boy and he said, we what? We? And what did you have to do with that struggle on the field? But the preacher then realized his victory depended on the one who represented him. His victory depended on the one representing him. Your victory this evening depends upon the one who represented you on the cross of Calvary. He won death. He won victory over sin, death, and the grave. And you can have victory tonight if you simply want it. If you want to claim it, you can have it. What an easy win. What an easy win. Some of you are Cubs fans. God bless you. Others of you are Sox fans. But some of you are Cubs fans. And there's a I think it's a flag that flies a W or something like that. Maybe it's a red W or something. Or maybe a blue W like that. And every time, I guess, the Cubs win, you're supposed to find that flag somewhere in the closet or in the attic where it was hid for the last several weeks. You're supposed to fly that flag or something. Then you get your W out there and you flag that. You wave that flag. And you show all your neighbors that you are a Cubs fan. You are a winners fan. Amen. I don't know what they have been doing. I thought I'd pick on you Cubs fans just a little bit. But whether they have been losing or winning, I want to tell you, you have a W flag to fly over every trial that comes into your life. You have a W flag to fly over every temptation that enters into your life. You don't have to be a loser. You don't ever have to fly your L flag. You can fly your W flag because Jesus Christ represented you on the cross of Calvary. Fly that flag. Fly that flag. When the temptation comes and you see it looking at you square in the eyes, go ahead, grab that flag and say, Jesus Christ won the battle. I don't have to lose this one. Huh? The report is true. It's true. It's true. Don't let the devil come to you and say, you're a born loser. Don't let him come to you and tell you that. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4 it says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Thank God Victory is available if I want it. Victory is available if you want it. Second report, I believe, that has echoed throughout the corridors of history is grace is sufficient. You see, we have Caleb that got back from that tour in Canaan, and he got up on maybe on a pedestal or something, on a rock, and he yelled out to the children of Israel, victory is available. We have the Apostle Paul that stands here and he pins the word, my grace is sufficient for thee. He echoes out the message, the report, God's grace is sufficient for you. God's grace is sufficient for me if we will only let it be. If we will let God's grace be sufficient for us, we will find that He gives all the strength we ever needed. The Bible says, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmity that the power of Christ may rest upon me. The Bible says, Paul wanted the church at Corinth to know, no matter what struggle, no matter what hardship they come through or enter into, that God is sufficient with His grace the whole time through. God is sufficient. Roland Hill was given £100 by a very wealthy man to give to this very poor preacher. He thought to himself, I don't want to give all £100, send all £100 to him through the mail. I want to divide it up a little bit. So he sat down and he said, well, what I'll do is I will take £5 and I will send that in the mail, and then if throughout a period of time, I will get all £100 to this poor preacher. So he went down to the post office and he got an envelope and he put the £5 in that envelope and he put a note on the £5, more to follow. More to follow. And boy, the preacher got that and he got the £5, and then he looked at the note. Boy, he was rejoicing already that he had £5. Now, this is British money, so £5 of money. Wow, this is great. Then he read the note. He said, more to follow. This is wonderful. I can't wait. More is on its way. Then a short time later, another envelope came. He opened it up. It said four words, and more to follow. Short time passed by, and another envelope showed up in the mail. And it said four words, and more to follow. And several times after that, 20 times in the mail, he got the envelope with £5 with the four words saying, and more to follow. You know what? Jesus Christ's grace is just like that. You go through a trial, you go through a heartache, and Jesus says, and there's more grace to follow. I have grace for you, and I have abundant grace. You go through that trial, and I have just as much grace for you to begin your next trial. And more to follow. And more to follow. You see, Alexander the Great was standing there by his army, and as he was standing there, one of his good friends came up to him and asked him for 10 talents. Alexander the Great, can you give me 10 talents? Alexander pulled out from his money bag 50 talents, gave it to the young man, and the young man said, Alexander, I didn't need 50. All I asked for is 10. Alexander said, 10 are sufficient for you to take, but not for me to give. I want to give you much more than what you asked for. And God, with His grace, you cry out to God and say, God, I don't know if I can make it through the struggle. I don't know if I can make it through the trial. And God says, let me give you grace. And you call out to God and say, thank you for the grace. And God says, I want to load you up with so much grace, you can't even take it all. Let me bestow abundant grace upon you. And so it is with all of us. The report comes by. The grace of God is sufficient. The grace of God is sufficient. Do you believe the report? Do you believe the report? On Memorial Day, I walked through the cemeteries and just looked at the different flags and the different soldiers' plaques there and what branch of military they were in. As I was walking past some tombstones this past a couple of weeks ago, as I was looking at them, there were some tombstones that had
twins that died 4 years or four days after they were born. Twins. I thought to myself, what grace that would have to take. What grace. And I was going through looking at the different young soldiers and some older people that have passed away. And if it's a person that was saved and on their way to heaven, the grace of God came to every one of those circumstances. To a mom's funeral, and to a child's funeral, and to a dad's funeral, and to a grandpa's funeral, and the grace of God was poured out on every one of those. If you can imagine a gift of grace over every one of those tombs, where the people, or every one of those grave stones where the people were saved, can you imagine all the grace that is bestowed on just the valley of death? And then God gives you grace through every trial that you go through while you're alive here on earth. The grace of God is sufficient for you. The grace of God is sufficient for you. Do you believe the report? Thirdly, labors are always rewarded. Your labor is always rewarded. You see, Caleb got up and he told the children of Israel, victory is available. The Apostle Paul sat down and he took his pen and echoed throughout the corridors of history, hey, God's grace is sufficient. And then we have Jesus Christ in Revelation 22 and verse 12. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. And I give every man according as his work shall be. Jesus Christ says, hey, I'm coming, but I'm not coming alone. I'm coming with a reward for all of you. I'm coming with a reward. So don't get discouraged. Don't get sad. If you're going through a trial, if you're going through a hard time in your service to the Lord, keep it up. Jesus Christ is coming with a reward. Do you believe that report? Do you believe the report? It's true whether you believe it or not. You see, a young man was studying and he was learning how to play a violin from a world-renowned violinist. As he would practice and practice and practice, finally the day came when he was supposed to present his performance in front of a great multitude of people. The balcony was full. The bottom floor was full. As the young violinist got up in front of the crowd, he played the first part of his performance. He was done with that part. The crowd began to stand and cheer and clap. They all sat down. He played the second performance. Got done with the second performance. The crowd stood up once again and began to clap and cheer with the thrill and excitement about the music that he had played. They sat down once again. Finally, he came to his last piece. And he finished the piece and there was no mistakes. He stood in front of the crowd. And boy, the crowd stood and began to clap. And they began to clap for a very long time. But the young man's heart was burned. The young man didn't have a smile on his face. There was some kind of emptiness in his heart. You see, his eyes were fixed on a man up in the balcony, an old man. A man that had learned the violin for years and years. A world-renowned violinist. Finally, that older man stood to his feet and gave a smile. Nodded his head. And boy, the joy just filled his heart. He said, that was the reward. That was the reward. Not all the applause of the men and women here on the lower floor and in the balcony. It was the nod of his trainer as a violinist. He said getting a nod of approval from that trainer was the reward of a lifetime. And when you and I serve the Lord, yes, we may have people pat our back and say, good job. But when we have our eyes fixed on the Savior, and the Savior gives us a nod of approval, that's the reward. Let me tell you that the King is coming, and He has a reward for us. He wants to give it to you. Every action of service is recorded. Everything that you have done for Jesus Christ has been made note of. God has an awful good memory. When I say a perfect memory, His calculations are not off either. So every time, mere miracle, you look up in the phone book, a baby visit, God sees that, writes it down. Every time you
Brother Lewis, every time you go get those keys on Sunday morning, God sees that. He says, that's not going to go without being rewarded. I'm going to reward that. Every time whoever it is that washes the baptismal robes and the towels, God says, I see that. Bus captains, bus workers, bus drivers, every time you prepare your lessons or prepare to work on the bus route or you walk across that street to pick up a boy or a girl for your bus route door runners, God sees that. And the labor will not go without being rewarded. God will reward every act of service that you do for Him. He is coming with a reward for you. I hope that motivates you to do some service to the Lord. And those of you who are already serving, I hope it encourages you to keep on going. You see, history tells us that the Queen of Sheba, she left Jerusalem, denounced her false gods, and took the God of Solomon and claimed Him as his God, as her God. She said, if the God of Solomon was good enough for him, then I'm going to make him my God. You see, what you believe to be true is what will motivate you to action. Let me say that again. This is the focal point of the service. What you believe to be true is what will motivate you to action. She didn't believe it until she saw it. And when she saw it, all of a sudden she was motivated to action. I will take the same Savior. I will take the same God that Solomon has and make Him my own. It motivated her to action. When you believe it, sometimes I believe that people, sometimes they sit in service or they sit in a class and they listen to a doctrine or they listen to a principle from the Word of God and it really doesn't sink in. Therefore, they go home and they don't apply it. It's not acted upon. If you really believe it, you are going to act on it. That's the same thing that the Queen of Sheba did. She said, truly, this is a true report. Or she said, paraphrase there, to be exact, it was a true report. As soon as she found out this is a true report, she believed. I didn't believe. She said in her own words there, when I was in my home country, I heard the report, but I didn't believe. Why? She didn't think it was true. Young person, do you know that the victory is available? Adult, do you know that the victory is available? If you don't believe that, you will never try to become a victorious Christian. And none of us have succeeded yet. We're all working on it. But if you don't believe it, you won't even try. If you don't believe that the grace of God is sufficient for you, then you'll go through a trial and you'll fall all to pieces and you won't let God's grace comfort you. If you don't believe it, you're not going to act on it. If you don't believe that the laborers are going to be rewarded, then you will never labor. So do you believe it? If you believe it, it's going to cause you to act on what the Bible teaches. We could go doctrine after doctrine. I just pulled out three reports that we have found from cover to cover to be true in the Word of God. There's a whole lot more reports in the Bible. You can find one and you can pick it apart. The devil can come to you and try to prove it wrong. You listen to me, it's true as long as the day is. It's going to be true. It's going to be true. Just bank on it. Why wait until we get to heaven to realize that we had a bunch of good reports, true reports from the Word of God? True reports. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe you'd say, Brother Caleb, I know there's some trials in my life, some temptations that I have fallen to. I know I'm not living the victorious Christian life. Brother Caleb, that's me tonight. Would you pray for me? I want to live the victorious Christian life. I kind of figured that it was hopeless for me. Maybe for somebody else, but not for me. Brother Caleb, would you pray for me? Or maybe you thought that the rewards were just not worth it. The grace was not sufficient for you. You say, Brother Caleb, God slipped by my pew tonight. God spoke to my heart. Would you pray for me? Would you just slip your hand up? The Holy Spirit spoke to your heart. Many hands.
Put your hands down. Maybe you'd say, Brother Caleb, I don't even know if I'm going to see the king. I don't know if I'll ever get to see if the reports are true or not. I haven't been born again. I'm not saved. Would you pray for me? Is there anybody like that this evening? I've never trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Just slip your hand up. Is there anybody like that? All right. The Holy Spirit spoke to your heart. Maybe the Holy Spirit encouraged you. Maybe the Holy Spirit convicted you. Whatever it was, if you do business with the Lord, honor the visit of the Holy Spirit by coming down and doing business with Him at the altar. Let's stand to our feet. As the organist and piano begin to play, if you do business with the Lord, come on down and you pray. You respond to the conviction of the Holy Spirit or the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Folks are coming. How about you? Holy Spirit.